On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of our movement, we welcome all of you this evening for the festival of Sharad Purnima. Many devotees have been working very hard for many days to arrange a very unique and beautiful darshan for the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinath and each and every one of you. When Krishna is the center of our lives, we absorb our consciousness in hearing about Krishna, chanting His names, remembering Him, and serving Him. Krishna reciprocates. Krishna is all attractive. He is the Lord of love and beauty. When He reveals His mercy within our heart, it is the supreme experience of spiritual joy. Sharad Purnima is the first day of the month of Kartik. Shukadev Goswami, the beloved son of Srila Vyasadeva, explains in 5 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Krishna's Rasa Leela. Perhaps the most misunderstood of all sectors of the Vedic literature. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has declared that these 5 chapters describing Krishna's Rasa-lila, they are like the 5 life airs. They are the crest jewel, most precious, most elevated of all the pastimes of the Lord. The Rasa-lila is the ultimate culmination of spiritual realization. And we find Shukadev Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatest of all sannyasis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a pure renunciate, people who had absolutely no interest in sensual enjoyment. The highest, most realized personalities in the renounced order that ever walked upon this earth, they worship these 5 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam as the revelation of the highest and purest spiritual love. Unless we hear the scriptures according to the great acharyas, we cannot understand them in their proper spirit or content. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, they declare that there is no love purer than those of the gopis of Vrindavan. Their hearts are uncontaminated by even the slightest trace of selfish desire. In fact, in the Rasa-lila, Krishna, who is Satchidananda-vigraha, whose form is eternity, knowledge, and bliss, was reciprocating pastimes of pure love with the gopis, whose body are their eternal spiritual forms. They did not approach Krishna with material bodies. They were in their original spiritual pure forms, where the modes of material nature have no access. It was on this night, which is glorified by great personalities as the most beautiful night of the year, in Sri Vrindavan, the sweet fragrance of jasmine flowers was permeating the atmosphere. The full moon rose. Such beautiful full moon. It had a golden reddish color. And the moon, the king of all the stars of the sky, illuminated all the directions. Especially the western horizon, with a beautiful shade that resembled that of kumkum. Lotus flowers were blooming and spreading their fragrance. The atmosphere was so surcharged with enchanting beauty that Krishna at that time, he inspired and took shelter of his own yoga maya potency to create the most pleasing atmosphere, the atmosphere of the spiritual world. In Krishna's heart arose the great desire to satisfy the hearts of his most beloved devotees. Under the Bamsibat tree on bank of Yamuna, he played upon his flute. The essence of the love of his heart came through his lips into the holes of the flute and formed into a beautiful song. It filled the atmosphere, entered the ears of the gopis of Vrindavan, through their ears, into their hearts, and from their hearts plundered the treasure of their entire consciousness. The song of Krishna's flute stole the heart of the gopis. They were in such an absorbed state of remembering Krishna, wanting to please Krishna through their services, they abandoned whatever they were doing. Some were milking cows, some were boiling milk, others were serving husbands or parents, while others were serving prasad or eating prasad. Some were bathing. Some were putting on their clothes or their ornaments. But immediately, without even consideration, They left their homes. They forgot everything except Krishna. Why does this greatest acharyas in the renounced order of life consider that the gopis represented the perfection of renunciation? This is a very subtle but important subject for everyone to understand. They were willing to leave the securities of their home with the good possibility that they would never be allowed back because their elders were forbidding them to leave. Their reputation, the Vedic rules and regulations, the attachment of family members, the security of a home, going into the darkness of the forest, how would they survive? But their love was so deep and so pure that not a single gopi even considered these things for a moment. They forgot everything except their burning desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna. They had surrendered their body, mind, words, life, and soul only for the satisfaction of Krishna. They could not think of anything else. They could not conceive of anything else. They were totally immersed, absorbed in their desire to please Krishna. His beautiful smiles, his wonderful threefold bending form, everything manifested within the hearts, his extraordinary pastimes through the sound of his flute. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masat. Krishna tells that we should abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender to him. I will protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. Now on the neophyte platform, surrendering to Krishna is an austerity. To renounce things that give us pleasure for a higher purpose is tapasya. It is the purpose of human life. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam. Nayam deho deha bhajam na loke. Sense gratification is available for the lower species. It's nothing important. Of course, in Kali Yuga, the propaganda of people's attachments is we give so much importance to sense gratification. Today I was driving from Radha Gopinath Temple to Radha Ras Bihari Temple, and between these two beautiful spiritual abodes of Krishna, there is so much Maya. Unbelievable. All of these hoardings, and everyone is trying to promise you happiness through sense gratification. Every type of sense gratification. Intoxications, liquor and cigarettes and televisions and movies and cinemas and clothing. You will be happy if you have this sense gratification. Now, what is the purpose of human life? To put aside our desire for sense gratification for a higher purpose, for self-realization. That is tapasya. And to actually be willing to do that, that is surrender. But the gopis, they gave up everything But they're on a whole nother level of surrender. Because for them, the question or thought of sense gratification could never even enter their hearts. They had already given their hearts wholesale in love for Krishna. When Krishna played on his flute on this Sharad Purnima, he was calling them. And therefore, their absorption was so single-mindedness. Their renunciation was out of pure love. Krishna says in Gita that for those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose, their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute are many-branched. The gopis, ultimate personification. They gave their lives to Krishna. They could not think of anything else or anyone else. Their renunciation was the expression of pure love. Not the detachment of the world, because they had nothing to detach themselves from. Their 100% all attachment was already Krishna. Thus, there is no love that can compare to the gopis of Vrindavan. And it is that type of single-pointed absorption. Now, we are willing to take risks. We are willing to endure sorrows. We are willing to overcome obstacles for Krishna's sake. And it's difficult. But for the Braja Gopis, there's no difficulty. Because nothing else matters except Krishna. The only difficulty is separation from Krishna. So they left. But Krishna is so kind. He did not want them to get in trouble. In their self-forgetfulness of all other duties, they left. But Krishna arranged his Yogamaya potency to make duplicate material forms of each gopi to stay home. Their spiritual bodies went into the forest. But their family members thought that they changed their mind and stayed home. Because there was an illusory form of them that remained with them. Krishna preserves what we have and carries what we lack. He will always protect us if we surrender. They came to Bamsi Bhat. And there, with hearts anticipating a night of unalloyed service to the Supreme Lord, they offer their hearts to Krishna. Krishna welcomed them very respectfully, with deep love. After his welcoming, "Thank you, you have come. I am so pleased to see you. But please understand that you have your obligations, responsibilities, and duties toward the Veda and etiquette at home. So please return home. If you have come to please me, you have pleased me. I am pleased. Your mission is accomplished. If you wanted to see the beautiful moon-like forest of Vrindavan, you have seen. But there are many wild and dangerous animals in this forest. It is a fearful place to be. He inspired them to return home. The gopis of Vrindavan, they were weeping, crying, heads down, rubbing curved lines in the earth with their toes. And some of them spoke that everything you're saying is completely true, that we have our obligations to our elders, to our family members, our fathers, our mothers, some of us have husbands. However, you are the super soul in everyone's heart. It is your presence that gives life and beauty to everyone. And all the great sages and rishis, they have abandoned everything to serve you and have fulfilled all purposes. The second canto of Bhagavatam, it gives further light on what the gopis are speaking. If you water the root of the tree, every branch, leaf, and twig of the tree is satisfied, because the root is the source of nourishment. If Krishna is pleased, then all of our responsibilities are fulfilled. Devarshi bhutapta ninam pratyama. Bhagavatam declares that all of our obligations, social obligations, religious obligations, domestic obligations, they are all fulfilled if one surrenders wholeheartedly to Mukunda. Because he is the source of everything. So we have given our hearts to you. We have abandoned everything only for you. Please smile upon us. Do not send us away. Krishna accepted their words after he tested them very nicely and revealed the purity of their love to the world. And then Krishna reciprocated with each gopi in such a way that that gopi considered that I am the most fortunate person in all creation. That Krishna is giving me so much attention. He's giving me so much affection. Krishna is giving me more love than he's giving anyone else. How fortunate I am. No one can have such fortunate as I. This was their feelings. Krishna, whatever he does, has many purposes. We will focus on one particular focus today, which the acharyas bring to light. Krishna saw a scent of pride in their hearts. What a subtle, pure, spiritual form of pride this was. That Krishna loved them so dearly. That Krishna was so merciful to them. It wasn't false pride, but it was a type of pride. Krishna wanted to show the gopis and show the whole world through the gopis that he does not tolerate pride within the hearts of his devotees. If any of us think that we're better than someone else because we're getting special mercy, because we're getting special affection, because we're getting special love, because we're empowered in various ways, that will spoil our devotional service. Sometimes we do nice things for Krishna and we get success. And we become proud of our success. People like me. People like me. See, they like to hear what I say. They may even like my kirtans. I'm special. Krishna's blessing me. Krishna does not tolerate pride. When Krishna scented that trace of pride within hearts of gopis, he disappeared from all of them. The Braja gopis were devastated. Krishna is displeased with us. Krishna has left us. They became mad. Mad for Krishna. Absolutely absorbed in Krishna. They were searching everywhere, asking the trees, asking the tulsi plants, asking the female deers, asking the moon and the stars, asking Mother Earth, where is the son of Nanda Maharaj? Have you seen him? Has he touched you with his lotus hands? Has he stepped upon you with his lotus feet? Has he enchanted and charmed your heart with his beautiful form? Where is he? Tell us. We cannot live. Immersed in their total absorption in remembering Krishna's smiling form, his sweet words, his loving pastimes, they were intoxicated, immersed in separation. They were enacting his pastimes together, glorifying him in every way, calling out for him, searching everywhere. They saw his footprints and followed. After some time, they saw another set of footprints beside Krishna's. This is the place where the ultimate culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is manifested. When they saw the footprints, they understood that Krishna has left all of us who have abandoned everything exclusively to love him and serve him. He has left us all for this one gopi. And just by seeing the different types of imprints of the footprints, they could surmise what Krishna and this gopi were doing. He has been picking flowers for her. And here he has been decorating her hair. And here he even lifted her up because she was tired, because there's only one set of footprints. The gopis their realization was that this particular gopi, her love and devotion to Krishna is supreme. There is no one whose worship of Krishna is so filled with love and ecstatic devotion than this particular gopi. And that gopi is Srimati Radharani. In this passage, Aniradita, Shukadev Goswami declares the supreme ultimate of all reservoirs of love, Srimati Radharani. Although in the Harivamsa, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, and other Vedic literatures, Srimati Radharani's name is directly spoken as Krishna's Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. Chaitanya Charitamrita declares Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rashmat, that the Absolute Truth is one, but that one Absolute Truth manifests two forms, Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the supreme object of love, and Srimati Radharani is the supreme Absolute Truth manifested as the supreme lover, the supreme abode of love. All love is part and parcel of Radha's love. All love, all devotion emanates from the heart of Srimati Radharani. Srimad Bhagavatam, more than any other Vedic literature, in this particular Leela, glorifies the supremacy of Srimati Radharani's praying. How her, the power of her love even controls Krishna. And therefore, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our ultimate aspiration in life is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Krishna. Because through that consciousness, we will receive the highest reciprocation from Krishna. If you approach Krishna directly or through any other means, you will get special mercy, no doubt. But if you approach through the service of Srimati Radharani, then the supreme love that Krishna bestows upon her is shared with us. Therefore, it is the highest ecstatic platform, because it is the most selfless spirit of spiritual devotion. As they walked further, they found Srimati Radharani sitting alone and crying. She began to feel a little proud that Krishna left everyone just for me. So Krishna left her. And all of the gopis were crying together, chanting Krishna's names, singing Krishna's pastimes, searching everywhere for Krishna. They were searching in places that were so dark due to thick growth of trees and bushes that even the moonlight could not enter. And ultimately, in their madness, Srimati Radharani and gopis entered toward the banks of the Jamuna. And there they sang the celebrated Gopi Gita, songs of prayers of love and separation. In reciprocation to their prayers, suddenly Krishna appeared, smiling upon them, and pacified the burning flames of separation from their hearts. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that some gopis were actually prevented from coming. They could not get out of the house by their relatives. Those gopis, helpless, closed their eyes and meditated on Krishna. Meditated on his smile, on his form, on his words, and on his pastimes. The fire of their separation was so great. And the scriptures and the acharyas explain that those gopis who were not allowed, who were unable to leave their homes, they were gopis who were already free of all karmas. They had no sins. They could not be Braj gopis with any karmas, material desires, or sins. But their prem, their love, was not yet completely pure. And whatever impurities may have been there, the fire of separation burned it. And they could actually, in their meditation, experience Krishna's loving reciprocation. And the next time Krishna performed his dance, they had no problems escaping and meeting with Krishna. So on bank of Yamuna, Krishna appeared to all gopis and satisfied their hearts. And I will end tonight's discourse with a brief summary of a conversation between the gopis and Krishna. Because although the Braj gopis were so very, very deeply blissful to be reunited with Krishna, and Krishna was satisfying their every desire to serve him and to love him, they asked that some people will love another because that person loves them and will reciprocate with them and fulfill their desires. Other people will love someone even if there's no reciprocation, even if that person doesn't give them any love in return. And there's a third type of person who don't love anybody. They don't love those who love them, and they do not love those who do not love them. Can you explain the nature of these three people? Krishna said, if you love someone, and if you serve them with love, because they will give you something in return, because they will love you in return, that is not pure love. That is selfishness. That is a person who is still thinking in terms of their own selfish interests. That person who loves, even if there's not proper reciprocation, even if there's pain, that person is compassionate. That person is fulfilling the true meaning of Dharma. That person is actually a man or a woman who loves. And the person who is unconcerned, who doesn't really love whether you reciprocate or not, that person is either a great sage who's just transcended everything, or that person is simply ungrateful. The gopis ask Krishna, you left us. Which of these three categories do you fall into? We surrendered everything to you. Everything. And then you left us. Krishna said, I do not fit in any of these three categories. And then Krishna explained why he left. He said, when my devotee surrenders everything to me, and I do not reciprocate according to their desire, but I disappear from them, it is my supreme love for that devotee. For a devotee who is not spiritually perfect, that devotee surrenders to me by chanting my holy names, by worshipping my deity, by hearing my glories, by serving the Vaishnavas. That devotee is really trying so hard to be a good servant, giving up so much for the sake of me. But still there's some contaminations in their heart. So out of my love for them, I clear that contamination by giving them the feelings of separation. Where such a devotee feels that I've surrendered everything, I've given so much. But Krishna is not reciprocating. I do not feel Him. I do not see Him. Why is this happening? It is because I am useless. Because my devotional service is useless. Because I'm so offensive. I have no love. That devotee becomes completely humbled. All pride is crushed by the fires of, burnt by the fires of separation, crushed by the weight of their ambition. For so many years I've been practicing Krishna consciousness, and yet, where is my love? Where is Krishna? When we really feel like that, we become very humble. Krishna said, that humility that is born through that state of anguish and separation completely cleanses the heart of that devotee so that pure love awakens in his or her heart. And for those who have already perfected prema, which is the category of all of you, I separate myself for another purpose. There's nothing more for you to be purified. When I separate from those who have pure love for me, it only increases their attachment and their love. And from within the heart, they can experience me reciprocating with their love deeper and more intimately than even in the physical form. I said, my dear gopis, the only reason I left you is because I love you so much. I wanted to increase your love and the ecstasies of your happiness. You have abandoned everything for me. Everything. And there is no possible way that I could repay you. With all of my resources, I cannot repay you. Even an entire lifetime of Lord Brahma. That is the power of your love and my indebtedness. So my request is that the feeling of your love and your desire to serve be the compensation. The culmination of this discussion is so beautiful. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsal, he is so gracious to his devotee. Because bhakti conquers Krishna. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, the controller of all controllers. But Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotee. That is why he is Rasaraj. He feels such a debt to those who surrender to love him that Krishna feels unable to repay. That is the nature of his love. Who is a greater personality to love than Krishna? And is to give this love that Krishna has manifested Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the essence of the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam? The love of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, tasting the sweetness of the mood of Sri Radha's love, and distributing that love, that treasure of love that even Krishna cannot repay, freely to everyone through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya has taught, Trinadapi sunichena taror iba sehishnama amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The Ras Leela is about this principle. Krishna's words. If we have pure love, then we are humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Our love is selfless. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kabitam va jagadisha kamaye. This is Radharani speaking the Shikshastakam. I don't want wealth. I don't want anything. I only want to serve you, Krishna. To please you, Krishna. And the process of achieving that perfection is to strive to be prideless in our chanting of the holy names. You cannot enter into the Ras Leela through mental gymnastics, through intellectual memorization of slokas. It is only when we feel ourselves so humble, so much in need, that we cry out Krishna like a baby crying for its mother. When we receive the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas, and we take those blessings, if we've actually taken those blessings wholeheartedly, this will be the effect. This humility, this surrender, this shelter, and ultimately, absorption. Krishna then performed the topmost spiritual pastime of Ras Leela on the bank of Yamuna and through the forests of Brajbhumi with gopis. He danced with the gopis throughout the night. And just to give fulfillment to the gopis' desire to serve him with love, Krishna extended one night to be an entire night of Lord Rama. Who else can reciprocate with our love in that way? Sri Ras Bihari, Sri Gopinath. So it is with this prayer, the prayer for pure devotional service, the prayer to follow in the footsteps of those Vaishnavas who are following in the footsteps of the gopis. No selfishness, no false ego, no separate interests, no agenda, except that aspiration to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That is how we follow in the footsteps of gopis. To try to imitate gopis and meditate on the activities of the gopis in their eternal forms is premature for a person who still has the false ego. We want to be the servant of the servant of the servant, following the footsteps of the gopis by following these principles of having such a pure heart of selfless surrender, focused in absorption on the pleasure of Krishna. And what pleases Krishna most? Service to his devotees. This is our prayer. And to the degree our heart becomes pure, the ultimate satisfaction is to see Krishna enjoying his pastimes with Srimati Radharani. And we want nothing else. And tonight we will see the beautiful pastime of Ras Purnima in the darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. My special gratitude to all the devotees who have been making garlands and flower arrangements, and some devotees have created banyan trees and lakes and rivers and waterfalls. And my special gratitude to all of you for sitting and tolerating my lecture. But hopefully it has increased your separation for the darshan of the Lord. So let us very, very enthusiastically and prayerfully chant the holy names as we meditate on Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's eternal pastimes. And ladies, if you could please bring Nartaki Mataji to the front. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gopinanandi.